For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, says Solomon, the preacher, the teacher, the wise man. A man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. Proverbs 5, verses 21 to 23. We've been dwelling for a little while on folly, foolishness, this dame and harlot personified, made to be a character that we might imagine her danger. Certainly, the devil himself is that actual person, if we can call him that, that angel who is the embodiment of all foolishness and folly. But this little text is not really about the dame so much as just, well, how God sees it. When he looks down from heaven at all the earth, at all the ways in which we men, women, and children, if we gotta be inclusive, say it, the way in which we all go, we're all included in the same problem. Our iniquities have ensnared us, right? What does that mean? Well, I mean, iniquity, to be unequal in the worst kind of way, to be unequal with goodness. And the problem is that we think we're doing well. We are born believing that what we think, we feel, we desire, that that's good. And we go and we chase it. But according to this text, as we till the soil of our life, as it were, planting seed after seed after seed in the hopes that it will grow into this great bounteous crop, the reality is that we're not planting good seed. We're planting tares. Or if you can think of it as a pathway, right? We come into this world and we see that there must be some sort of path through it all, but there's a lot of stuff in the way. So we start trying to clear the path. We start trying to make a way for ourselves. But we instead are not making a clean path. We are making a path full of snares. We set traps for ourselves and we don't even know that we do it. And then we find ourselves like a small animal trapped with our foot, caught in the snare, in the wire, unable to escape. That's how God sees us when he looks down upon the children of Adam and Eve. All our ways, all our paths, all our lives, every day of yours and mine and everyone else's, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, they're all laid bare before him. He is so God, so much God, so great God, that it's not like it's hard for him to look at the entire everything like a little bit of a scroll with a laundry list rolled out in front of you. He sees it all, and he thinks on it. It's not like he's just some power, some force up there randomly pushing this way or that. No, he's a greater mind than we will ever be. And he looks down on our ways, he ponders them, and he sees this. He sees the snares that we set for ourselves. And in fact, he's even made it this way in one sense. It says in the New Testament that the Lord knows how to hold ungodly men for the day of trial. So he doesn't stop these snares from catching us. In many ways, he allows it to continue. But precisely, as Paul says in Romans 8, in order to set us free from them. The creation was not subjected to futility because we wanted to be, but by the one who subjected it, that is God. He allowed the snares that we have set to be set and to catch us, so that in being caught, like that little animal trapped, we might see our need, come to know that this path has not been cleaned by us, this field has not been sown well by us, that we are held fast only in the cords of our own sin. And what's sin? It's just not goodness. It's the opposite. Whatever that is, whatever evil is, that's sin. And it's not just about little deeds you do here and there, little mistakes. Oops, I made a bad decision today. No, it's far deeper than that. It's the curved inward, distracted, backward, self-focused heart that controls your every thought, word, and deed, that even your best thoughts have some smidgen of self-desire and self-congratulation in them. And in that sense, you cannot escape it. And it holds you fast. So that our deaths, right? The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. That's one you should definitely have memorized if you don't. Our deaths are the result of our sin. So that when the proverb says, he dies for lack of discipline, you got to hear this as that all that we see collapsing around us, whether it's a direct result, like I actually shot myself in the foot with a gun, or whether it's an indirect result, like in my old age, I just got cancer and died, all of it is actually the same thing as the lack of discipline, meaning the lack of order that the Word of God built into creation, which we rejected, and we allied ourselves with folly, with foolishness, with Satan. Now, this happened in Adam and Eve, so you can say it's not my fault, but well, it is. It's our fault. No one has compelled you to this. It is simply who you are, and you are your own problem, your own great problem. The real issue is, because of your great folly, which I share with you, will you be led astray even more? Or will you learn to call the thing what it is, right? Like Luther taught us yesterday. To look at this world not through the eyes of how you can become better, but through the eyes of the cross of Jesus Christ, who became worse for you. Will you see the folly of the cross that the world will not accept, the foolishness of believing that one man's death could actually undo all things and make them good again? Will you believe that rather than the folly of the world that would tell you, do this, do this, do this. What is it? Diet, exercise, organize, work harder, work slower, relax more. And it's just never done. It's just never enough. Our ways are before the eyes of the Lord. And the wonderful, wonderful good news is that in his word, in his wisdom, in who Jesus is and what he has done, God has not only pondered a way to bind us to the futility of our sin, but far more importantly, he has established a foundation for freeing us from it.